What do we prefer? Light or love? Both? According to knowledge, it's both. But what does it look like in our church life? What do we practice? I think everyone prefers love. Emphasis is not on light. Everywhere I hear love, love, and more love. But in the scripture, there is no love without discipline. Hebrews 12 says, our Father loves us. That's why he doesn't do anything and letting you do everything. No? Is it not written like that? Whom I love, I let him do everything he wants. No. Is that love? Love means no rod? Nothing? No. Him whom I love, I discipline, I chastise. We do not think that the chastisement of the Lord is love. It's even a greater love, a holy love, because God is holy and righteous and glorious. Our love is corrupt. If I do something wrong, oh, you must love me. No. There is a chastisement, a disciplining. That's what Paul said in Hebrew 12. The chastisement is not nice. It hurts. It gives pain. But afterwards, it brings forth a peaceable fruit of love. No, of righteousness. Love is not separate from God's righteousness. The Lord said it to the church in Laodicea. He used strong words. If you do not repent, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Not nice to hear, is it? Repent. Whom I love, I chastise. If you love your child, then discipline goes with it. Love without discipline is not good. If I see you did something wrong, and out of love I don't say anything, it's not a help for you. It will bring damage to you. You have to see this. It's not a matter of love from ourselves, but it's a love of God. And God is also righteous. He's light. Light and love have to go together. Love without light brings corruption in the end. It's so wonderful what John wrote about life. First he says God is light. And then in chapter 4 he says God is love. Grace alone is not enough. But grace and truth. Grace without truth is not the way. When the Lord came, we saw his glory, full of love and love and love. No, full of grace and truth. What is more important? What do you prefer to have? Only grace? Full of grace. Isn't that wonderful? that even grace wants to discipline us to. Paul said in Titus 2, there's a wonderful balance there. If we emphasize love without light, it does not work. And light without love is only accusation. This is wrong, and that is wrong. But there's no supply of life. And that's not the way of God. If we have discernment, we will see that we are often one-sided, either this or that. There's no balance. God is not like that. The love of God is very holy and righteous and expresses his glory then. Hallelujah. Love is not that love loves everything. Love does not love unrighteousness. We all have to learn this from this wonderful life dwelling in us. Hebrews says, after chastisement is not only peaceable fruit of righteousness, but we will partake of his holiness. That's so important. If we pursue holiness, Hebrews 12 says, we will behold the Lord. Do you not have this desire to behold God? But if we are not holy, we cannot see him. Many preach the gospel, as we read in Philippians 1. Many preach, and some even preach out of strife and envy, and out of competition. I want to gain more people than you. Look how many we've gained, and what do you have? They want to bring problems. Setting up a competition. Not only Paul can do that, we can do that too. Even better. Of course, if you use worldly means, playing music, many young people will come. You can gain a lot of people by playing wonderful music. But that is not the way of God. It's a worldly method to gain people. You preach the gospel for us to have more people here. We draw all kinds of people, and in the end, we corrupt the church life. The Lord says, when he was on the earth, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. A rich man came to Jesus wanting to enter the kingdom of God. What did the Lord say? Wonderful that you came. I love you. You have to stay with us. Especially since you are so rich. It's just what we need. Wow. Unfortunately, it's like that often. It's not the way of life. The Lord said, sell everything and give it to me. No. Did he say that? Give it to the poor. And come follow me. And he left. Sad. Did the Lord say, no, no, come back. You got me wrong. I want to explain to you better. The Lord didn't do that. Maybe many others would have done that. The Lord loved the sinners and wanted to save them. But he did not make any compromise with regards to the will of the Father. He went into the temple and saw these money changers who sold animals for sacrifice. So the people didn't have to bring anything, but they could buy something there, bring it to God. So simple, but that was not God's way. What did the Lord do? He took a whip. That is not love. The Lord didn't say, may I please ask you, this is a temple of God. Please, if you want to do something, do it outside. Go. Do you think people would have listened? They would have said, who are you? To have the authority to send us out. They will throw him out. The Lord spoke Matthew 23. Blessed are you. He said, woe unto you. Do you dare do that? Go to the Catholic Church and say, woe unto you. Who dares do that? Is that love? I tell you, this is love. You say the truth, the hope that they would repent. The seal for the house of his father has swallowed him up, has devoured him. That was the love for the Father, which is more important than love for people. With regards to the will of the Father, the Lord didn't make any compromise. It did not mean he does not love men. That was also the Father's love for the men, for men. That's why he sent him, not only for salvation, but to fulfill God's will. Do we have time? Our brother said this word, showed this word wonderfully about the false prophet. The enemy, Satan, the devil. John mentioned him a couple of times, children of the devil. The Lord came to annul the works of the devil. Many people don't believe that there is a devil. They laugh at you. The Lord didn't hold this back. He said, the whole world lies in the hand of the evil one. There's darkness there. But as the brother expressed well, the enemy also attacked ragazze to the way among Christians today. God's work has a goal and there's a way to reach it. If Satan couldn't stop us, cannot stop us to be saved, but it's not a question of salvation, it's a question of the fulfillment of the will of God, that His kingdom comes and His will be done on the earth and His name would be glorified. It needs a time, a process, a way there. Your daughter, Toby, is good. Is it good enough? 3 years, she's so clever, she asks so many questions. Is that good enough? And I see how she packs a suitcase and wants to come to California. She has to grow still to be transformed. There's a lot to do. After salvation, there is a lot to do. In the church, we prepare for the coming of the Lord. It's not that we just know that He's coming and then we don't do anything. There's more to do today. Because we see the hour has come. But Satan will stop you, hinder you. I heard, we don't need anything anymore. What we've known is good enough. And we warm up the old soup. It's still edible. What we have known. I've heard this of an elder brother. I've seen everything in the Bible that there's to be seen. Wow. Do you think we've seen everything? Satan will stop us, prevent us from going on. That's also a false prophet, to stop us to reach the goal. It's important. Do you think that Catholics don't believe in Jesus Christ? Oh, sure, they do. Born by Mary, become a man. But when you pray, to whom do you pray? To Mary. Terrible. You pray to all the saints. And they're just the dead. What nonsense. This nonsense. In German they say it's Jesus. Anyway, the producer is the devil. It's rubbish. As a child, you're born for 8 days, you have no consciousness at all, you're baptized. So many weird teachings. We are the church, the only one, and you are nothing. We are the body of Christ and all the others aren't. Are you part of the body? What right you have? You're not on the ground. He's not standing on the ground. We are the body. You are a rebellious brother. I've seen that also. 40, 50 years. What shall we do? So many different understanding. So Peter says, when we, the first time, when we, the first thing, when we read the prophetic word in the Bible, is that we should not have any interpretation of our own. That's first, second Peter 2:1. It's not that people were gifted spoke, but holy people spoke through the Holy Spirit. It was not them who said anything, but the Holy Spirit. At the end of 2 Peter, he said, some have twisted the word of God according to their own understanding. If we do this today, then we are false prophets and false teachers. In a certain sense, it's antichrist. We hinder others to go on according to the word and work of Christ by saying, no, we don't need that. That's our situation today in the world. Then it was relatively easy if you believe that the Lord Jesus has come as the Son of Man, not a man but something special. But today it's different. Our brother is right. It's more complex today. At the time of Jesus, the people who were demon-possessed were in the cemetery. They were wild. Today, they are sitting in the White House, in the States, not in the cemetery. They're billionaires. They're in Hollywood. They testify to this themselves. Well-known entertainers. And we let them entertain us. One confessed that himself. He testified. If I want to perform something, I have to call the Spirit into me, then I can act perfectly. That's caring. If we have no discernment, we think, oh, it's a wonderful actor or wonderful film. We live in such times of lie without truth, seduction. Even what the media tells us is a lie. They are professional liars, and the whole world believes it. They believe what the media say. But for us, dear brothers and sisters, to turn back to the tree of life, life as appeared, full of the light of God, no darkness at all. In our God, there is no darkness at all. The Lord says He's life, and He's the light of the world. And even the light of life. If we follow the Lamb, we will not walk in darkness. If someone says he has fellowship with God, but he walks in darkness, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. There's not a beautiful teaching in theology in 1 John, or neither in the second epistle of John. Praise the Lord. Let us come back to the beginning, to life, the tree of life. We cannot emphasize this enough. Today, we have to make the same decision. Moses told the people, he put everything in front of them of the word of God, of the law, said, do you want to have life or death? And today, it's also to us. Now, in your daily life also, you have to choose if you want life or death. We are able to choose because we have the anointing in us that dwells in us. We will know. No explanation necessary. John did not explain how the anointment works. He says, you all received the anointing from the Holy One and you know, full stop. You know, because the anointing dwells in you and teaches you about everything wonderful. We all have to experience this anointing in our daily life. No excuse, except unless you have not received the anointing. But if you've received it, you mustn't consider, think, oh, is it right or wrong? It looks good, but that's superstition. He say, yes, but. In German, the superstition is to do with but. If you consider, then you come from the anointing to your mind and you're confused in the end. Anyway. I hope that we all have learned this important thing in the epistle of John. Learn. This is a burden of the Lord. It's his decision that we have this time of fellowship with the Father and the Son through the Spirit, that we all are brought back to the tree of life. Amen. Good. Hallelujah.